Good morning, everybody. It's a shame this morning I can't hear you all say good morning. Anyway, please do pray with me now. Dear Father God, you are our rock in times of uncertainty. May we hear you this morning. May we hear you speak to us. And please move us in your spirit, transform us by your word, that we will be better able to face the week ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, spoilers. Don't you just hate spoilers? Picture the scene last Saturday night. Chris and I had finally dispensed with the children, put them to bed, and we flopped down on the sofa. We opened a bottle of wine, of course, just so that I'd have wine for communion the next morning. And we then settled down to watch a movie on Amazon, and of course, other streaming services are available. Now, I'd been really keen to see this whodunit murder mystery, but we'd missed it in the cinemas, and it's only recently been released for home viewing. But would you believe it? Only a few minutes into the film, Chris had already guessed what had happened in this whodunit. You know, the major plot twist and who had, in fact, done it. He wasn't sure that he was right. But even then, spoilers, he had spoilt the film. He had spoilt the film for me because we knew, or suspected we knew, the ending. It's really annoying, isn't it? When you find out the ending or a film or a series, or perhaps you can't help yourself and you sneaked a peek at the last page of a book. You may have tried really hard to avoid reviews or commentaries or social media postings. But then you find out, before you've had a chance to watch it yourself, who won the football or the tennis? Or maybe it's who's lifting the Strictly Glitter Ball or who's been crowned King of the Jungle. It's annoying because knowing the ending affects the way we view the story, or at least the narrative. What's gone before, what's already happened, what's going to happen next, and ultimately how things end up. The edge was taken off my enjoyment of the film last week because I couldn't experience the shock, the surprise of the plot twist. Instead, everything I saw and heard, the character motivations, events of the unfolding plot, was viewed through knowing what I knew and couldn't unknow even if I tried. But turning to the real world, this current time of uncertainty and fear, suffering and death, do we wish we knew the ending? Or is it just too scary? There's no spoilers, just speculation. How many cases, how many deaths, how long lockdown will last? Has the government made the right decisions? Speculation, both helpful and unhelpful. And we're living from day to day. I found myself wondering, where is God in this? He seems so far away. Our nation, other nations, the whole world is in such deep trouble in this coronavirus pandemic. And he just seems irrelevant to these events. They're so out of control. But I realized that for the past few weeks, I've been looking down into myself and my situation, not looking up to God. It's not God who's distant. It's me who's wandered off. God can't answer my prayers if I don't actually pray or pray with intent. I've been looking down, quite literally, constantly checking my phone for the latest on the BBC News app, feeling down, getting sucked into how dreadful it all is. And there's nothing else to think about. I've been absorbed with how it affects me, the inconvenience of the restrictions, having the kids at home that eats into my sermon preparation time, and the likely loss of my much look forward to holiday in Turkey. My annoyance that members of my household won't eat the food that I've bought because it's not their usual brand. Don't you understand? It's all I could get. Be thankful for it. Such trivial issues these are, aren't they, compared to what many are suffering, I know. Sadly, we've seen how this sort of self-absorption and selfishness has swept the nation. In my local Asda this week, I asked where the food bank trolley had gone because, well, I'd finally remembered to buy some things and there was stock to buy, to put in there. And the shop assistant said it had to put in the back because people had been stealing things from it. Oh God, please forgive us. Please forgive us. Please forgive me. Because I can really sympathise with how people might be driven to doing that. And it's been really tempting to join in the mass panic of stockpiling and hoarding of essentials that, well, hopefully it's coming to a halt now. We can find ourselves whipped up into a frenzy and feeling such urgency to protect ourselves and our families, especially if all around are doing it. Contrast the mass panic with a different sort of mass hysteria in our Palm Sunday reading today. It's a familiar story, so it's easy to dismiss. But just imagine the scene. The crowd is excited, super excited. Each cheer inciting more cheers, more cries of Hosanna! Everyone all around is egging everyone else on. People are lining the road, in the road, before and after Jesus. So many people, so many excited people, crowding in, surging, shouting, wanting a glimpse of this prophet. No, this king, the Messiah, no less. And riding on, would you believe it, baby donkey. The bodies, the noise, the dust, the clamour, the pushing and the shoving. Exciting and good-natured, but perhaps a little dangerous? Do you think there was any sense of foreboding of what was to come? Of how strange and uncertain the week to come would be? Of how fickle the crowd could be? And how quickly their shouts would turn from Hosanna to Crucify? Verse 10 in our Matthew chapter 21 reading is curious. The NIV uses the word stirred. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred. But the NRSV translates this word as in turmoil. The whole city was in turmoil. And the Message paraphrase uses the words shaken, unnerved. This was a crowd, a huge, noisy, triumphant crowd approaching Jerusalem. And its inhabitants were alarmed, rightly asking, who is this? Who is this? Who is this man that's causing all this excitement, that's got hordes of people clamoring after him? Is he going to make trouble for us? How does it affect me? And who is this is the big question that the whole of the Gospels pose to us. Who is Jesus? What's his story? How does it end? How does it affect me? Who is this? The crowds think Jesus is a prophet from Nazareth in Galilee, but they're spreading of cloaks treats him as royalty, a conquering king. Their palm branches give him the welcome of a triumphant warrior, a military hero. Son of David is a title with heavily messianic overtones. They long for a Messiah, in their conception, a military leader who would save the Jewish people from tyranny and oppression in that time from the Romans. Who is this? The disciples had spent 3 years with Jesus and experienced his teaching and miracles. They'd seen him transfigured, and Peter had declared him to be the Messiah. Did they think that because of this procession and welcome into Jerusalem that Jesus had made it, been recognized by all as the one prophesied as the Messiah? Who is this? We can only speculate what it must have been like for Jesus to be fully God and fully man. But he knew, like we know now, that things would get a lot worse before they would get better. We know the ending of the story. Yes, Jesus was the Messiah, but he hadn't made it. It wasn't his time. Jesus had warned the disciples and predicted his death 3 times already. And so he knew what was to come. Jesus was riding into Jerusalem, but riding into, in some ways, the unknown, and certainly to his death. Spoilers. We know the ending. We know how the events of Holy Week will unfold. We know the suffering of the cross and the triumph of the resurrection. And so when I was preparing, I found I was just dismissing Palm Sunday, or rather, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, as a nice, simple, happy story on the way to more profound events to come. But look again. What do you see? Let's put aside our thoughts of what's to come in the story. There's a glimpse of truth peeking between those palm branches. The focus is on Jesus. Jesus is King, King over all. He is the Messiah, come to save us all. Even if the crowds didn't understand that he wouldn't be a Messiah in their image, but that Jesus' mission was so much bigger and to be executed in his way, not theirs. Even if they didn't get it, Jesus' ride into Jerusalem was prophecy fulfilling and prophetic. Prophetic of how all heaven and earth will worship him as King in eternity. The best ending of all time, if that isn't a paradox in itself. The crowd was expressing the truth, and the right and only response, which is praise and worship, submission and reverence of Jesus. Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God's Messiah sent to save us. Hosanna in the highest. Spoilers. We know what is to come in the week ahead for Holy Week. What a long week it must have seemed for Jesus and the disciples. The uncertainty and fear, suffering and death. And boy, do we know how long a week can feel in these times now. Days of uncertainty and fear, suffering and death due to coronavirus. Like Jesus, we know, we've been warned, that things will get a lot worse before they get better. God only knows, quite literally, what the ending of this situation will be. Spoilers can be really annoying, but we are blessed. We're blessed because we know the ultimate spoiler, the ending of all endings that God has purposed and that he has promised us. That Jesus, through his resurrection, has overcome fear and death, and in him we have eternal life. How does that ending, the ending, affect how we experience the story unfolding of now, of 2020? It doesn't mean it's going to be easy, that we have all the answers, because we won't. But we have faith. In the uncertainty, can we hold to the certainty of God's sovereignty? promise of eternity with him? If Jesus has overcome fear and death, can we ask that he give us grace to live through our share of suffering and to minister to others? And so finally, what do I think God is saying to me, to us all, through the Palm Sunday episode? Look up. Look up and see Jesus. Look up and give Jesus praise and worship. Praise him even when you don't feel like it. And I think there's a lot of that at the moment. Look up from your selfish, self-absorbed introspection and uncertainty and see the truth. See hope. See the future. See the ultimate ending. Let Jesus give you perspective to pray, to live, and to serve. Let's end with a few words from Psalm 24. And I encourage you to read the whole psalm when you get a chance. Imagine that you are the gates of Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday as you welcome Jesus. Please say the words with me, even though I won't be able to hear you. Here we go. Lift up you heads, your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Amen.